Are you choosing to believe God?
Yes.
Good. Standing by the truth then. Amen. Well, we're going to continue what we finished off last week. When we left off on, we're talking about the Word of God and what a necessity it is to have the Word of God in your life. To be meditating on it, speaking it, writing it, doing everything you can with it, to imbibe it. Like Jesus said, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. We want His Word of God to be in us, the Word of God. And it not only is to be in us as far as in our minds and in our hearts, but it also is to be in our mouth. And that's where we finished off yesterday. Now I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 4. Romans 10, starting at verse 4. I just want to read through this. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In other words, what makes you righteous is your belief in Jesus Christ, because He finished off the law. He completed and fulfilled the law. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Now, I hate to say it, but you know, most Christians are still under the law. Boy, as I was preparing for the class and everything, I thought, oh Lord, if I had 2 semesters, you know. I mean, there's so much to be said. So many revelations of faith. But Jesus Christ has already purchased it for us. It's already done. The victory is already completed. Like a brother we were talking the other day. He was saying, you don't press for the victory. You've got the victory. You press to live out the victory. You've already got it. Amen. Because Jesus already won it. There's no more blood that can be shed. There's nothing more that can be added to it. It's already completed. What we do is we start from victory on in our lives. You don't try to get the victory. You got the victory. Now you start from there. You see, it's already done. It's already provided. Now the righteousness which is of the law is you got to do them. See? And we're always going to be incomplete that, because the flesh is weak. So we're always going to be incomplete, always frustrated, never full. But faith, you see, brings an end to that because of Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 6 then. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. See, we're trying to earn Christ. You don't earn Christ. You're trying to earn Him. If I could just get up to heaven and, you know, work my way up there and do everything right, you know, then I'll earn Christ. Bring Him down. Verse 7, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. There we go again, trying to go down in the deep. either in spiritual experiences, we're trying to earn Christ this way, or we're trying to work our way this way. That's not how you win Christ. That's not how you get Him. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What do we see here? We see that there is to be a belief in our heart and a confession in our mouth. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. In other words, all you need to do is believe it, and then you speak it, and it's yours. You believe it, and then you confess it, and it's yours. Now, this is talking about Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean any harebrained thing that comes into your mind. We're going to get into that today. Presumption. No. But it means that which is according to the Word of God, and that which God has provided for us. You see, it's not a works program. It's not a self-effort. It's by faith. And the reason why it's by faith is because God has already provided Christ for you. And now all you do is believe it. I mean, what did you do to get saved? You worked, you know, you came to the community chapel and were a volunteer for a month. You know, you bled or something, or you said the rosary for 3 weeks, or you know, what did you do to get saved? You believed. That's what you did. You repented and believed. And God came into your life, and that's the highest you'll come in the righteousness of Christ is by faith. That's the highest you'll ever come. When we become Christians, we all too often start looking at our works as a means of our justification. It doesn't justify you. Your works condemn you, by the way. If there be any man or woman in here that has had perfect works the last week, stand up. Nobody's standing. In fact, few of you are hitting for the floor, you know. We can't live by that. And I'll tell you, like we already saw, when you have faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done, you'll live a better life. You'll have more righteous works in your life because you're going to live it out in gratitude. But if you think you're earning it, you know what you become? You become a little man. You become little in your heart. You become selfish and critical, judgmental. But when you're living on mercy, all you've got to say is, thank you, Jesus, for your grace and mercy toward me. You forgive people. You feel grateful. And in that gratitude, you begin to live out. Now, it says here that the Word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. Now, what's it in your mouth for? Chew on it? It's in your mouth to talk it. It's in your mouth to confess it. It's in your mouth to speak it. That's what it's in your mouth for. It's to be confessed. As pilgrims and strangers, we are to confess that we have a better country. It is absolutely shocking, embarrassing, and shameful how often we as Christians tear one another down with negative words. I can't make it. That's no good. I'm not sure. We're talking all these lines of self-works instead of faith, instead of trust, instead of confidence. God will see us through. The truth is such, and so forth. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16. It talks about the new covenant. And look at what it says. This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Now, if they're in your heart, and if they're in your mind, the Bible says that out of the treasure of the heart a man speaketh. It's what's in your heart that you will talk. If you're full of fear, you'll talk fear. If you're full of faith, you'll talk faith. Now, do you know what? The Word of God is the truth in every situation in life. I don't care what you're faced with. God's Word concerning that situation is the truth. Whatever God says is the truth, that's it, no matter what you think. And if you choose to talk the truth, brother, you're going to do a lot of damage to the kingdom of Satan. Where does fear come? How does fear come? Fear generally comes from the unknown, right? Things you don't know about. Things you don't know about. And if we allow those things to come into our mind and to fill us, that fear dispels faith so fast. Faith flies out the window in a second. You know, some people have the idea that faith is just stays kind of steady all the time. Whatever level of faith you have, that's what you always have. You know, it's really not that way. You can gain faith or lose faith, sometimes very quickly. Peter walked on the water and he began to sink. I mean, that's how fast he lost his faith. All it took was to get his eyes off of Jesus and on the waves. That's all it took. He was walking on the water and he was sinking in the water. And then Jesus brought him up on the water again. I'm sure he did. And it was because of faith. So he went down or he stayed up because of his faith. And there are people that they're standing strong in God. The next day they're down in the dumps, despair. The devil's beating all over their head. They lost faith. They lost faith. You can lose it in a day. That's the crazy thing about it. Now, how are we going to keep it? The constant influx of the Word of God into your heart. And guess what? One of the big ways of getting it there is by talking it yourself. There's something about speaking the Word of God that impacts our mind and in our heart. Have you ever brainstormed with somebody? You didn't know what to do in a certain situation. You said, let's just sit down and brainstorm. And you began to talk. And as you talk, it cemented the thoughts in your mind. And it made clear what you were thinking. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah, now I see it. Oh, yeah, see. There's things rattling around in there that aren't quite connected. And as you talk about it, it begins to gel. That's exactly what happens when you talk the Word of God. You're not even aware that there's a fear in your heart. But as soon as you say, I'm not afraid, you realize, ooh, there was something that just left me. I did have fear. But I will not be afraid. God is my strength. The Lord will see us through. You can be in a group of people and everybody's just kind of afraid. You know, there's something happening. And if somebody at that time says, oh no, oh no, well, guess what that'll do to that group? You know? But if they say, God is our strength, be encouraged, know that the Lord is with you, guess what that does to that group? Look at the difference. Amen. All of a sudden, yeah, you know? Haven't you been with people that they've been really affrighted and you just put your arm around them like a child? It's all right. It's going to be all right. We're going to see you through. We're not going to let go of you. God's your strength. And I just like that. And they make it. And all it was is a matter of about 5 seconds talking some words at them. Powerful. I'm telling you, powerful. And I gave this to you already, but Proverbs 18:21. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And if you love life, then speak life, and you'll eat the fruit of life. If you love death, then speak death, and you'll eat the fruit of death. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, God watches over His word to perform it. God watches over His word to perform it. And if we will choose to take the word of God, regardless of our feelings or our thoughts or the circumstances that we're facing, I'm telling you, God watches over His word to perform it. He does. You know what the distinguishing factor of those that are strong in the Lord is? The distinguishing factor of those that are strong in the Lord is mentioned in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. And it says, young men. It says they are strong, and it says by the word of God. By the word of God. That's how we are strong. Now notice, in the armor listed in Ephesians 6, that really there's only one, and you could say maybe two offensive weapons. All the others is armor to protect us, like the shield and the helmet and breastplate and so forth. But there are two that are not. One of them is the sword, the other one is the shoes on the feet. Now the shoes on the feet is the preparation of the gospel of peace. You got to go out there. You got to put on the word of God so you're ready to attack the devil. And then the sword of the Spirit, that's in your hand. And those two things together is what goes after the devil. Now, that's the word of God in our mouth. In fact, in Psalm 149, in verses 6 through 9, it says, with the high praises of God in our mouth, and a two-edged sword in our hand, we shall smite the enemy. That's how you win. Right there is the tool for victory. Many of you ought to put that up in your bedroom, you know, in your hallway, out there in your kitchen. With the high praises of God in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand, we shall smite the enemy. That's the tool for victory. What is praise? Praise is the acceptance. It's the result of the acceptance of truth, of how God has overcome. That's what praise is. That's why praise is so powerful. If it's true praise. Because it's an expression of that faith. Then as you praise God, it'll actually build your faith. Lord, you can do anything. Lord, you have won the victory. Oh, we praise you. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, all things in your hands. I'll tell you, the demons start trembling. They say, will you stop that? They don't want you to do that. Because that takes away their hold. All they've got is a bluff on your life. Because as soon as you believe the truth about them, they're lost. They're lost. All of their power is stripped from them. As long as they can keep you intimidated by fear and by lies, then they can work in your life. But if you choose to take the truth of the Word of God, then they've lost. You've already got them on the defensive running. In Revelation 12 and verse 11, it says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That's how we'll overcome. It's through the blood of the Lamb. Guess what? The blood of the Lamb is already shed. The devil can't get any more defeated than he already is. Oh, when are we going to wake up to that fact? The devil can't get any more defeated than he already is. As far as in the gospel age. And it's by the word of our testimony. And if we'll testify and stand on the truth of what Jesus has done, brother, I'll tell you, that word will smite him. That word of God will smite the devil in your life. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, John said, for this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is how we overcome the world, even our faith, by taking the truth of the Word of God against the situation. Now, true faith is unwilling to confess the opposite of the facts. It is unwilling to confess that I'm a failure. It's unwilling to confess that I've lost. It's unwilling to confess that there's no hope in God. Now, let me say, there might be a time when, you know, when your difficulty is all around you. And you might find yourself praying like you're reading the Psalms sometimes. Lord, where are you? Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? You know? I cry all the day and all the night, and yet I don't hear you. You know, that's not negative confession. There's a preaching and teaching going around that as long as you say, if the word ever comes out of your mouth, that I'm not feeling too well today. Wah! You know, it's like a demon jumps out of the woods on your back. And if you don't say it, then you're somehow healed. You know, it's not quite that way. It's not quite that way. I mean, you know, read the Psalms. You read the Psalms. After that teaching, you can't hardly read the Psalms anymore. In fact, in the same teaching, and several have told me this, in the same camp, they also say that the Old Testament is pretty much gone. It's the mean things. The Old Testament is the mean things. You just don't get into the Old Testament anymore. You get into the New Testament. Well, I'll tell you, if you got a problem with the Psalms, you're going to have a problem with Paul's writings. I left my leader sick. You know, or I mean, I left Epaphras sick at Miletus, you know. And Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake and your often infirmities. Woo! What a negative confession. And how about Jesus Christ on the cross? Oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Wow, the Lord really blew it there. You see, that is totally ridiculous, that whole philosophy. That's presumption. That's presumption. No. It's all right to say what the situation is. I got problems. I got this sickness. I broke my leg. I cut myself here. Or whatever. I'm in difficulty. That's all right. But then, take the remedy. It's what you do after that that really makes the difference. If after that you say, there is no hope for my soul. There's where you blew it, brother. There is hope for your soul. God is with you. God is your strength. He's there to build you up. In Matthew 8 and verse 8, Jesus came to heal the centurion's servant. And he said, I am not worthy that you come into my house. But he said, speak the word only. Speak the word only, and my servant shall live. And you know what Jesus said? He said, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. That's great faith. If we will but receive the word from the lips of Jesus Christ, brethren, that's all we need. That is all we need. Speak the word only. All too often, you and I are looking for a feeling. We're looking for some sort of sign. We're looking for some sort of natural consequence, you know, circumstance, to kind of bolster our feeling and the way we, you know, what we're experiencing. Brethren, we don't need to walk by that. We need to walk by the word of God. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That means that we are to take what God has said and put it in our mouth. God is my strength, devil. The Lord is by my side. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Therefore I shall boldly say, I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. This is taking the word of God into our mouth and making that our confession. Now, the word confession, to confess like we saw back there in Romans chapter 10, the Greek word is homologeo. And homo means same, and logeo means to speak. And it's literally to speak the same, or to speak the same thing. Confessing is speaking the same thing. When you confess, when you're confessing the word of God, you're speaking the same thing as what Jesus would say. When they were caught in the storm, they were afraid for their lives. Jesus said, this is what Jesus said. He said, why do you fear? Do you not yet have faith? Why do you fear? Do you not yet have faith? They were all afraid and they came to Jesus about Lazarus. They said, he's going to die. You know? And he says, if you would believe, you'll see the glory of God. You know? And he said that to Martha later. They came to Jesus that man who was born blind was sitting there, and the disciples said, why did this man sin, or his parents? And he said, neither one, but that the glory of God could be seen. Jesus always saw it in the right perspective. He always saw it in the right perspective. They'd be out there in the middle of the storm just screaming and getting water out of the boat and just all affrighted. He's asleep on the end of the boat. He's sleeping. And they're all afraid and they're shaking him and say, Master, don't you care that we perish? And he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves first, and then he rebuked them. He said, oh, you have little faith. What are you looking at? Let me tell you the problem. The problem is we don't see Jesus. That's the problem. We're looking at ourselves. We're looking at our own strength. We're not looking at Jesus Christ. If we see him on the water who says, come, brethren, we run across on the water. It's where our eyes are located. And, of course, that starts right at the beginning of this semester when we talked about the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, it's not good enough to know the truth. You've got to talk it. It's not good enough to go to Bible college and learn the truth. You got to live it and talk it. You got to talk it with one another. When a hard situation comes, you got to speak the truth to one another. We've got to teach ourselves and learn how to talk the Word of God. How to talk the truth. Do you know that God delights in the tongue of the righteous? In Proverbs 23 and verse 16. For it's a tree of life. God delights in the tongue of the righteous. He delights in one who will speak the truth in a situation. There are many scriptures about how we should speak. Let me put with this 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 16. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And you see, the spirit of God helps us to learn what God has given us. Which things also we speak. Which things also we speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, they are foolishness unto him. See? But they're for a spiritual man. It's not good enough to know. You've got to speak the things that you know. If God is your strength, then let's hear it. If God will see you through your trial, then let's hear it. If God loves you, then let's hear it. If the Lord will never let you down, then let's hear it. If the Lord has a desire for them out there in the world to save their souls, then let's hear it. Let's talk the Word of God. Let's talk the truth in every situation. It's an embarrassment sometimes at how different ones, and a great testimony at other times, how different ones they'll get together and how they talk. Sometimes in a certain apartment situation, they hardly ever talk the Word of God to one another. Just, you know, because they want to be, quote, real, you know, or something. That's such a life in the pit of hell. And then you find other apartments that are just aglow. And you know what they've done? Oftentimes, all it's taken is just one brother in there that says, I'm not willing to put up with mundane, non-spiritual, unedifying talk all the time. I want to talk the Word. I want to talk the truth. I want to say things that edify. I want to speak about the Lord and what He has done. And boy, I tell you, it just transforms the whole circumstance. It just changes everything. You know how you get around some people and they drag you down? Get around some people and they lift you up? What are they talking? Just listen to what they're saying. Just listen to what they're saying. What are they speaking about? What are they saying about it? You know? Is there criticalness? See? Okay, the way you talk affects everything about you. You know, the greatest enemy, oftentimes, is our own tongue. Remember that fire set on, that unruly member set on fire by hell? That thing burns. And guess what? It not only burns one another, it burns you. It burns yourself. It burns yourself. You can put fear into your own heart by the way you talk. You can tear away your own faith by the way you talk. And, you know, you say, but I don't feel that way. Aha! Now we've come right down to the basic issue. You don't feel that way. All right? So you're going to talk according to what you feel. You're going to live according to what you feel. Oh, God help you if you can never get above what you feel. If your feelings are your God, you're in trouble. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ that this Word is our God. This is God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ given to us. This, the Word and the Spirit, they are one. This has got to be your life, not the way you feel. And if you want to change the way you feel, start talking the Word. And you'll find yourself changing the way you feel inside. Our pastors preach this so many times. In fact, he just did this last weekend. When you're sitting there and you're going through this thing, stand up and say, I'm not going to go through this thing any longer. I'm not willing to put up with this. God is my strength. God is my help. Very present out in the time of need. I love that one. That's a good one. He is my tower. He is my fortress. See? He is my salvation and my light. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? See? Start talking the Word of God. Get that demon off your back. Quit living by your feelings. Confess the Word of God, and you'll be delivered. This confessing of the Word of God is an act of obedience. Because it brings you right down to who are you going to obey. Are you going to obey your feelings and circumstances? Are you going to obey He that is the way, the truth, and the life? And no man can come to the Father but by Him. When you get sick, you need to start talking the Word of God. The Lord is my healer. The Lord loves me. If I ask for a fish, is he going to give me a serpent? Then how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? And healing is a good thing. The Lord went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And when faith strikes your heart and you begin to build up in the faith, and you can say, and I accept that healing in Jesus Christ. I accept what He's done for me. Now don't play this game of mind over matter business. But when you see the Word of God, say, Lord, I know Your Word is true. And begin to speak that Word of God to build up your faith and encourage your heart before the Lord. It's not a matter of saying that I am healed and that makes me healed. Saying I am healed doesn't make you healed. It's Jesus Christ that makes you healed. And it's trusting in Him that makes you healed. And sometimes people do that and it encourages their faith and they get healed. But it's Jesus that heals you. And it's trusting in Him. And so you can say things like, the Lord is my healer. I'm not going to doubt Him. The Lord is my strength. And if I do not doubt, I have whatever I ask. God will never leave me alone. Really, will the Lord let me down? No, He won't let me down. God is by my side. I choose to take the Word. Begin to build your faith by what you say. Instead of, oh boy, I sure hope that I'm not sure about this. Well, I don't think I... As soon as you feel those things come in here, start talking against them. You devil, get out. I refuse to accept that into my heart. I believe that God loves me and that He'll heal me. So you get out of here. The Lord is my strength. By His stripes I was healed. He bore my pains and carried my sicknesses. The chastisement of my peace was upon Him. The Lord already bore it for me. I don't need to bear it. Start talking the Word of God. You know that pamphlet I gave you, your assignment on those scriptures? Pull that out. Go through your medicine cabinet, you know. Get some pills, you know. And build yourself up in the Word of God. Remember, the facts are what God has laid down from the foundation of the world. The facts are that His Word will never pass away. And the facts are is that His truth stands no matter what the circumstance tells you. And when people choose to accept that above what they feel and what they see, that's when they begin to see miracles happen. It's the natural thing to just succumb to your circumstances. That's the natural thing. And that's what most everybody does. It's the supernatural thing that Jesus Christ has bought for you and I. That says, regardless of my circumstances, I've got the promise of God through Jesus Christ for my healing and my deliverance and my victory in Him. When the revelation strikes your heart that Jesus has already paid for it, when that revelation hits you and you don't have any works, anything that you need to do to add to it, there's no blood, more blood that you can shed. There's no more works that you can add to it. It's already been completed in Jesus Christ. I tell you, you're in for some blessing. Because when your heart takes hold of that fact and you abide now in the victory of Jesus Christ, the demons are defeated. Healing is yours. Health is yours. Victory and trials are yours. Joy and peace is yours because Jesus has already won it for you. We are now presently seated with Christ in heavenly places. We have authority and dominion over all things in Christ. He is the head of all things and And we are the fullness of Him that fills all in all. So He becomes the head of all things to us. To us. And so that means that all things are ours, like the Bible says. And all it is a revelation, a position that you enter by faith because it's been provided for you. So let me challenge you to speak the truth. Let me read a few Proverbs in closing on this section. Speak the truth, brethren. Proverbs 12, 17 through 19. He that speaks truth shows forth righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. And remember the 10 spies, false witnesses. False witnesses. But you say, boy, if I'd have been one of those 10 spies, I'd probably done the same. Well, then know that you're a false witness. You're a false witness. You are testifying falsely of what the facts really are. Open your eyes and see the chariots of fire round about the Assyrians. And trust the Lord. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health or healing. The tongue of the wise is healing. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Brethren, let's start talking the truth instead of lies about what God has said. Chapter 14, verse 25. true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. When you start testifying of the truth, you're going to deliver souls. Your soul and the souls of your friends. Your soul and the souls of those around you. Let me give you one example about what God is doing right now. You know how you love people? You love them in your heart? But something happens when you tell them that. Doesn't it? You look them straight in the eye and you say, I love you. Something happens, doesn't it? It brings the love to the full in you, and it also brings it to them in a full way. Doesn't it? Those words mean so much when your heart is behind them. And that's what this righteousness, this healing that this brings. Chapter 16 and verse 13. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaks right. Oh, and I say the same thing. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's a true story of a man that was going to preach, and he had to preach, and he was scared to preach, and it was in a Bible college, and it was his time to preach, and it was part of one of the classes or whatever, and he was scared to death. He'd already practiced his sermon out on the trees. Now it was time to do it to the souls, you know. And he was afraid, and he knew he had to lay a hold of the truth. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of a love, power, and a sound mind. And so he kept quoting that to himself, but the fear was still raging. And he knew he had to have the victory. And he knew the truth was the truth, and this was the devil fighting him. And Jesus had already beat him, and so he's going to win, see? And he kept quoting that to himself, and now it was time to go, and he had to get up and walk down that aisle to the front podium, and he was still shaking in fear. And he just felt such a vehemence, he stopped in the middle, and the devil he knew was following him, and he turned around and out loud he shouted, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And he walked out up, and it left him. He had to say it out loud. He had to attack that thing. He had to let it known where he's standing. He wouldn't let the devil take the ground that wasn't his. That's the kind of spirit you got to have. Who's the victor? If we lay over and die, the devil is. No matter how true the Word of God is. See, do you realize that? That the fountain of love and power is flowing forth from Jesus Christ right now? And if you believe it, you partake. And if you don't, you don't. We have the choice. It's flowing right now, and there's people out there that are going to hell because they don't believe it. Well, it's the same way for us. And the fountain of healing can be flowing. And the fountain of deliverance can be flowing. The fountain of all the blessings of God in Christ are flowing. But we will not know them unless we believe them. And make it a part of our everyday life. And we do that by talking it. By speaking it. Chapter 19 and verse 5. A false witness shall not be unpunished. And he that speaks lies shall not escape. Boy, is that ever the truth. He that speaketh lies shall not escape. In verse 9, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaks lies shall perish. I saw somebody just kind of dig a pit for themselves, jump in and bury themselves. Kind of hard to do that, but they did. Nobody loves me. I can't make it, you know. Everything's all, you know, and I tell you, just dig a pit. Just dig a pit. Here we go, digging a pit. Down and down and down we go, down we go. Everything's all wrong, nothing's right, you know, the devil's the winner, you know, I'm defeated, and into the pit we go. And she threw, or he threw, the dirt high into the air, and threw it high enough that by the time they got down, it all just went, brum, 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 brum. The devil patted the top, and they're all buried, they're dead, they're gone. All by talking. And at that point, the flesh doesn't want to say the truth. The flesh doesn't want to. Well, who's God? Flesh or spirit? Who's going to be Lord in that hour? That's the time you got to take the Word of God into your mouth. And one last one, Proverbs 21 and verse 28. A false witness shall perish, but a man that heareth speaketh constantly. A man that really hears. A man that hears the truth speaks constantly. And that's what God wants you and I to do. He wants us to continually speak forth the truth of the Word of God concerning every situation in life. There's much more to be said on that, but we're going to the next section, and that is the destroyers of faith. The destroyers of faith. What will destroy your faith? What will destroy your faith? Number one, pride. Pride will kill your faith so fast. I'm talking about living faith. Pride is an exaltation of self. And when you exalt yourself, you don't need God so much, right? And you may be boastful. In fact, You know, there's a thing in the Bible, we'll get to it today, I hope, that's called hypocritical faith. Hypocritical faith. And the end of the law is faith unfeigned. You know what unfeigned means? Unhypocritical. It's ahypokrites in the Greek. God wants you to have an unhypocritical faith. You know what hypocritical faith is? It's a lot of boast. You know, it's a lot of bark and no bite. It's a lot of smoke and no fire. That's hypocritical faith. It's where you can talk the game, but you don't live the game. You don't live it out. It's not a part of your life. You can do a lot of talking, but unless there's a lot of living... And see, that's what pride will do. Pride will talk. Pride will say things. And see, so this is the balance of what I already brought. Pride will puff you up. Pride will enhance yourself. But see, when you're enhanced and you're sufficient in yourself, you don't need God so much. And brother, when you don't need God so much, you're not going to have much faith. I'll tell you that. You and I are altogether undone. That's right. We are undone. You and I are lost. We're damned. We're doomed. We're without help. We're without hope. Exactly. We are. We are in ourselves. We are. Our only hope is God through Jesus Christ. That's our only hope. In that, brother, is humility. We already talked about how humility and faith go together. Well, pride destroys it. A person that works for God in order to enhance himself or to build himself up. He works for God in order to make his show look great, in order to impress his friends, you know, make friends and influence people. If that's what his Christian life is all about, he's got hypocritical faith. And in the jaws of the lion, brother, he's not going to last too long. In the growl of the bear, he's going to run. And when the flood comes round about them, they're going to sink. But it's the one who has humbled himself before God and exalting him, that man, see, he'll be able to hold on to faith in the hour of testing. So pride's the first destroyer. The second destroyer of faith is being out of the will of God. You know, when people are out of the will of God, it really destroys their faith. Remember, our faith has to be according to the faith. What is the faith? Who can tell me? What's the faith? Your personal faith. That's right. And what else? The Word of God. That's right. Is that what you said? The Word of God? The will of God? The faith is the doctrine of truth. Don't depart from the faith. Don't leave the faith. That is the truth. Don't leave the doctrines of God. That's the faith. And if your faith is not according to the faith, that is, if you're not living according to the faith, if you're not in the will of God, it'll shake your faith. A good example was Uzzah. He was zealous. He was excited. He was doing the will of God. He thought. And the ark tipped, and he put his hand forth to save it, and he disobeyed clear word of God that said, never touch the ark. Only the priest can. Don't you touch the ark. In fact, maybe even the priest couldn't. I can't remember. I guess they could. But the others could not. And he touched the ark, and God smote him dead, just like that. And that shook everybody's faith fast. That shook their faith. They didn't know what to do. Then David said, oh, stop everything. You know, if you're dogmatic and yet wrong, that just ruins things. It just destroys things. You're dogmatic, but you're wrong. It'll really upset things. Now, there's a lot of this going on in the hyper-faith movement. They're dogmatic about a thing, but they're wrong. And what they generally say is that if it doesn't happen according to perfection, then the person just didn't have enough faith. And you know, that's not always the answer. That's not always the answer. There can be a lot of harm done. I shared with a woman one time that was about ready to backslide, leave God. She was in total consternation. Her husband had divorced her. She loved her husband. He divorced her, left her with a couple of kids. And she was just shook because she was being taught that you're supposed to praise God for that. You're supposed to thank Jesus. Lord, thank you that my husband divorced me. And she was about ready to leave God. She could hardly stand it. All I did is I came and I said, that was a devil. That wasn't God. Don't you dare praise God for that. Praise God anyway because he's so big and he's so good and he loves you. And he'll work for good in the situation. And we're going to pray for your husband. We're going to pray for you. But that's the devil. I think that set her so free. She submitted herself to God. She surrendered to the Lord. She says, Lord, I knew all along you couldn't have been like that. That wrong theology was shaking her. She's about ready to quit. There's people who've got wrong theology. They think God's on their back. They think that he's on their case, you know. He's upset and mean and angry, and he's got his gavel ready to smash them in the judgment bar. And they're about ready to leave God. And they don't realize what a loving Heavenly Father he is and how much love he's bestowed upon them. There's some that feel that if you just say, plead the blood, plead the blood, plead the blood, that you're safe. And there have been those that have pled the blood and gotten smashed. You know, they've got in trouble. There's one girl,
And thank God she had enough strength, but she was kind of teetering on this type of thing. But there was a guy that assaulted her. And she'd heard that if you just say, you know, certain words, you'll get delivered. She said the words and he knifed her. But I'm telling you, she turned unto God in that thing and she said, rotten devil. And she began to build up her own faith. And then she got delivered. I tell you, God set her free from the hurts. God set her free from the whole situation. She came out of that thing totally healed and delivered by the Lord. See? Same words, isn't it? It's believing in God and having confidence in God. God sometimes brings you through a thing, you never suffer a thing. He'll save you completely from it. Other times, God, you know, you go through things. But the Lord will deliver you out of that too. Now, you may think that's horrible what she went through. Well, I know people are going through a lot worse than that. In fact, maybe you would right now. That's true. Because right now, the torment the devil would bring on you in case it happened to you, and you could live it, daydream it, nightmare it for the next 5 years and go through a million times more than what this girl ever went through. There's some people that live under the fear of a car wreck, and they go through that torment of demons much worse than a person that got in one. Why not just get in one and get it over? You know what I mean? May as well, all the torment you go through. That's the devil. That's the devil. God will keep you in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on Him. It's another good one to lay hold of. See, these are the types of things that your life has to be made up of, is the truth of the Word of God. So don't get out of the Word of God and begin to believe things. See, and when they don't come to pass, it shakes you because you're not according to the faith. Now, both of these first things create presumption. Presumption. And what is presumption? Presumption is your will. You're presuming. Presumption is fulfilling your will instead of God's will. Presumption is making yourself boss instead of God boss. Presumption is not out of a response to truth, but it's out of a response of your own manufacturing thoughts in your mind, what you think. Presumption is not a response to what God told you. Presumption is doing things and not being led by God to do them. For instance, Brother Smith Wigglesworth. One time he was praying for a woman that had this, it was some stomach problem, and he punched her in the stomach. And she doubled up. I rebuke you, Satan. Poof! The woman doubled up, and the people around him, there's some that got really angry at him. He said, "What'd you do that for? Are you mad at her?" "No, I'm mad at the devil." She stood up healed. Now, if you and I were to do that, it'd be presumption. I think I'll try that. Leslie. That'd be presumption. It's also happened with people that have had their eyes prayed for. People are told, "Well, should I throw my glasses away? Hey, look, that's not up to the person. That's up to you, unless God shows them." And the only time God would show them is if they are there, they've got the faith to be healed. As long as they quit looking at the waves and the sea, they'll be all right. And God would quicken maybe the man that's praying for them and say, "Just throw them away. Just throw them away." And if they do, there'll be the fruit if God told them to do it. Because they're right at that point, they say, "Praise the Lord, I knew it was real," and they just get healed. See? But it's presumption. I know one brother, sweet brother, you know, he wanted to do the will of God. He'd seen other people healed of their eyesight. And in the altar in our church, he went up there and he says, "Lord, I'm going to trust you to heal my eyes." And he blinked out his contacts and walked away. Blinked out his contacts and walked away. And they got vacuumed up or whatever happened to him. Who knows? About 2.5 years later, he got contacts again. He struggled with that thing, but it was in presumption that he did it because he'd heard about others and he just wanted to be healed so bad that he decided that I'm just going to throw him away. There's another woman that threw her glasses away. Sweetheart, she lasted longer, about 5 years. But she couldn't drive a car. She didn't do any of that because she couldn't see very well. About 5 years later, she bought glasses again. And she counted it a blessing of the Lord. Had those glasses back. Her heart was pure the whole time. But she was presuming. It was presumption. God had not spoken to her. She did not have that revelation of faith in her heart that this is the way it would be. We see others, though. We've had those in our congregation that have been healed of eyesight. They've been healed of their eyesight, and they don't need their glasses anymore. They don't need them because their eyes aren't bad anymore. They get prayed for, and they believe God, and they walk away, they don't need their glasses. And there have been those cases where it's been borderline case, particularly those that are operating in the gifts, and where they have seen the heart and they've seen the faith, and just like Paul perceived that that man had faith to be healed, he said, stand up on thy feet. He was preaching the word of God, remember in the Acts, preaching the word of God, there was a man who was lame in his feet, and he perceived the man had faith to be healed, and as he was preaching, he stopped and he looked at that man and he said, stand up. Then the man stood up. He perceived he had faith to be healed. Then at a time like that, a man might say, throw those away, you don't need them. Put down those crutches, walk. He might say that, if there is that revelation. But if he is presuming, and I'm afraid that even among those that have been evangelists, and among those that have operated in the gift, there has even been a lot of presumption among them. And that's the truth. There have been many cases where people have, quote, gotten healed in a service and never got healed. The emotion of the moment, the thrill of the moment, they kind of got, you know, you can kind of get all excited. And I don't feel the pain anymore. And you walk out and the pain is there as strong as ever. There wasn't a real confidence. There wasn't a real faith. There was presumption operating in maybe both of you, you know, or whatever the situation. And, you know, just not really knowing. And so we say things and do things that God is not really telling us to say and do. And that aren't really right and proper. You know, we just got to remember God's boss. And so your faith is not a, I'm going to overcome faith. That's not the kind of faith. The faith you've got to have is, he overcame faith. He overcame. And therefore I'm in him. And therefore I can do all things. And Christ will lead me. And Christ will show me. And I will know. See? There's a place, in fact, somebody showed me just the other day, Brother Smith Wigglesworth, because of his faith. He said, well, what do you do when you see a demon-possessed person? Do you pray to get faith before you go to him? And he says, whenever I see a demon-possessed person, this is when he's ministering, see, I would suspect. He says, I rush him, and I trust God to give me the anointing before I get there. Because he knew he had the victory. That's the only reason why he could do that. That's the only reason why he could do that. Because he already was in Christ. He already had the authority. And he knew it. And that faith is the faith that overcomes the world. But if you and I were to try it out and see if it works, if we were to presume, see, then we get into trouble. See, all of these things are putting in our own way. If we were to, quote, by faith operate a word of knowledge when God did not give any knowledge, that can really hurt the body of Christ. If we're to, quote, by faith prophesy when God didn't give you any prophecy, you really hurt the body of Christ. If we're to, quote, by faith say that God will heal this one right now, I know he will, and he doesn't get healed, we're outside of the will of God, we're presuming on God, we just had the kind of encouragement that that would happen, we can really hurt people that way. We really can hurt people that way. Israel was at Kadesh Barnea. They had already rejected the counsel of God because of the unbelief of the 10 spies. God says, all right, you're not going to go up for 40 years. And they say, we'll go up. Presumption. Outside of the will of God. Did they get anywhere? They didn't get anywhere. They went up there, got whipped, came back. Uzziah with the incense in the holy place. He says, I'm a great mighty man. I'm a king. I can also offer incense. And he went into the temple and God said, nothing doing. And he smote him with leprosy. Presumption. Doing a thing of your own will. Saul was afraid. The Philistines are coming. He only had 600 men left. Samuel said he'd be there in 7 days. He didn't show up. Saul says, then I'm going to offer the sacrifice. But he was not a priest. And just as he finished offering the sacrifice, guess who shows up? Samuel. But you weren't here yet. And Samuel says, seeing that thou have rejected the counsel of God, God has also rejected you from being king. Presumption. We can't presume upon God. You see, true faith is operating on the revelation of God's truth. And it's going by the truth, by the facts, by what God has said, that we have to allow to grip our heart. To grip our heart. That's why it takes meditation and feeding on the Word of God. That's why it takes speaking it and reading it and making it a part of our life. And as you do, it builds your faith. And then you can operate in faith. And not just presumption. You see, we want our answer without the work. You know, we want, and we're not earning our salvation. We're not earning our salvation. But see, what we want is we want to just have everything without any sacrifice to Christ. without giving our life totally over to His will and to His Word. And so we say, well, I just want to speak everything into existence. I don't want to have to read the Word. That's work. I don't have to believe God. That's work. I don't want to do all those things. So I'm just going to say that it's so, and then it'll be so. No. It's a giving of yourself over to the will of God. The third destroyer of faith is fear. Of all the things that destroy faith, this one annihilates it. Other things, you know, that you can have, still allow a certain amount of dead faith. But fear, it destroys everything. I mean, it just wipes out all the whole mess all at once. You find in the Bible that fear is the total destroyer. And many times, faith is put as the remedy. In Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, it says, "For the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that we might boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear." Notice, faith is the answer to fear. The Lord is my helper and I will not fear. In Psalm 118 and verse 6, it says, "Look not unto man, but trust in the Lord. Fear not man." Psalm 118, 6. "Fear not man, but trust in the Lord." And so the opposite of fearing man is trusting in God. Proverbs 29, verse 25. "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso trusts in the Lord shall be safe." There we see it again. The fear of man, the trust of the Lord. They're the contrasts. You do one or the other. You can't do both at the same time. 2 Timothy 1, 7. "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind." I'm telling you, that includes faith, for sure. Love does, for sure. We see in Mark chapter 4 and verse 40, this is where the disciples were sinking in the boat, and they cried out and said, "Jesus, save us." And after he rebuked the winds and the waves, he said, "Why do you fear? Not yet do you have faith." Why do you fear? Do not yet you have faith. Those are the opposites. They feared because they had no faith. If we had faith, we would not have fear. You can tell when you're not believing, when you're afraid. And that's when you got to start building yourself up on the truth. "I will not fear. God is my strength. I will not fear. The Lord is with me. He'll never leave me. I will not fear. The Lord told me not to fear." "Fear thou not" is one of the most repeated commandments in the Bible. Fear thou not. You'll find it in practically every book in the Bible. Fear thou not. Do not fear. It was spoken to many men of God and women of God. Fear keeps you from aligning with the truth. In fact, it says in John 12, verse 42, many Pharisees believed on Christ, but they would not confess Him because they feared the Jews. And they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, they did not confess Him. They believed on Him, but they did not confess Him. Were they saved? No. Because you have to believe in your heart, and then you got to confess with your mouth. These believed, but they didn't confess. They didn't get saved. Because it's through confession that we come into salvation. It's the same way it works with your faith. If you believe it so, but you don't confess and make it a part of your life, you won't get saved. You won't get delivered. You won't have the victory. You'll still walk under the condemnation of it. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, it talks about those that are going to go into the lake of fire. The first group that are mentioned are the fearful. The fearful shall have their part in the lake of fire. Oh, glory to God. Bell rang, ran out of time, got lots more to give you. We'll have one more class, I think, on faith, and then we'll be into healing. Now, we've been into healing all along, so, you know. But I mean, just specifically the promises and issues concerning just with faith, with healing.